Kevin Coop here, content guy with MorningNewsBeat.com, and this is part three of my conversation with Randy Fields, the CEO and chairman of Park City Group, as we talk about the subject of out-of-stocks and the ReposiTrak out-of-stock management solution. Okay, so I'm curious, are there, it seems to me there's all sorts of potential complications with this, only in terms of getting it done. Warehouse deliveries versus DSD. How does is it different how you deal with that? Is it what happens when wholesalers get into the mix?
Yeah, I think in every instance it's who owns the problem, right? So our focus has historically been on DSD. Why? It's the worst. Okay. It's invisible to the retailer. It's invisible to the supplier. It's only visible to the poor consumer marching up and down the aisles with a cart. So we focused on DSD because it's a harder problem to solve. But inherently, the solution doesn't require DSD. We need to know who to talk to. Who do we nag? Right. Who owns this problem? If you have computer-aided ordering and you have a warehouse, if you have your own DC and they short ship a store, who owns that problem? Who do you call? Yeah. Is it the store manager we should be calling? Should he increase his order? Or was it a short ship from the DC? So retailers, and this is spooky, retailers aren't organized to solve a problem called out of stocks. There isn't an out of stock vice president. There isn't somebody who runs around kicking people's butts because you're driving our customers out of the stores.
Yeah, you almost need a chief out-of-stock officer.
You need a chief out-of-stock officer.
Well, what's weird about this is, who's doing it? Somebody's investing in robots that go up and down the store aisles to look for. You're laughing. To look for holes in the shelves, right? I mean, there's somebody out there who's doing that. I can't remember who it is off the top of my head, and I probably wouldn't mention him anyway because I don't want to embarrass him. But it would seem to me that seems like a really, really high-tech solution to what essentially is a low-tech problem. Is that fair?
Correct. I think it's even worse. If I had a competitor, I would finance his robots because they help scare his customers out of the store. This is, in the history of the universe, certainly one of the dumbest ideas we've ever had.
It's like
had.
Buying a Maserati as your train car, right?
Well, no, let's do two things to our retail stores. Let's remodel them so they're very attractive for people to come in. Now, once we've done that, let's have lots of Instacart people in the store picking groceries. I'll come back to that in a second. And then let's have robots. So between the people picking and the robots, we're going to send almost every last customer out. So pretty soon we'll have just a warehouse, I guess, if that's the strategy.
Well, they're called dark stores. They're much in vogue at the moment.
Exactly.
I want to go back to the DSD issue for a second. A lot of the DSD products that are coming into stores, and I think the percentage is higher now than it has always been. A lot of that is because stores are, and I think this is admirable. They're trying to bring in more local products. Yes. They're trying to bring in more gourmet products, specialty foods, things like that.
Yes.
So they're dealing with smaller suppliers. Mm-hmm. All admirable. Mm-hmm. But I would imagine that if I've created a Kevin's Ketchup. And which is this great ketchup with, 18 different spices in it that's great on your hamburger. But I'm a little guy. Interacting with me on the out-of-stock issue is going to be different than interacting with
Heinz? And better. One of the most remarkable points of differentiation when we look at where we've been successful, the smaller the vendors, small and medium-sized vendors, are much more responsive to this. Because in their minds, oh, my God, this increases my sales. Of course it does. Absolutely it does. It helps you build a brand.
Well, that's interesting. Because they're living on those. I mean, as opposed to Heinz, which is not necessarily going to worry about this out of stock or that out of stock. If I'm Kevin's Ketchup, I'm living and dying on my relationship with the retailer because that's how I'm getting to the consumer.
Exactly. We have one large supplier that we work with. And I can't tell you how many phone calls we have with them where we show them the data and they say, we don't believe we have any out of stocks. So we've been reduced. I mean, it's almost childlike. We've been reduced from the data says it to, we'll just give you pictures. Do pictures make it easier for you? The big guys often, and by the way, it's really funny you mentioned Heinz ketchup. We did have a phone call with them a few years ago where they said they didn't have any out of stocks. And you kind of, and you listen to this and you go, one, do you really believe that? Yeah. And if you do, pretty soon it'll all be private label. You will liquidate your market share. So we think that there is an enormous opportunity with small and medium-sized businesses because they see an out-of-stock as a lost sale, and they're right. But it's also brand building. By being there on a repetitive basis, you increase the likelihood that you build brand loyalty.
And big guys think, if I'm going to build my brand, I'll buy a Super Bowl commercial.
Exactly.
Not thinking about the nuts and bolts that are happening in the store. So when you've done this with retailers, give me a sense of the what are the results? I mean, you've got numbers.
Yeah, actually, and these are verifiable, truthful results. About 70% of the vendors. Now, so far our sample is about 12,000 stores, which is a lot. A couple hundred different vendors, more than I think a dozen retailers or so. Here are the numbers. 70% of the vendors are experiencing nearly 50% reductions in out of stocks. It's just below 50. Now, what's interesting about that is how that gets distributed. Because one question, although 70% of anything doing a lot is like, oh my God, that's really remarkable. So there's a real effect in what we're doing. It's a measurable effect. What's interesting to me is who isn't moving the needle. I'm less interested in who isn't than who is. So who's in that 30%? And what's remarkable is it's the same names. It's a limited number of national brands. And we've just concluded they don't give a damn. They just plain don't give a damn. And until somebody like a Walmart.
And it's not, and to be clear, they're not. It's the needle is not being moved because they're not being responsive.
Correct. Yeah. They have huge out of stocks, right. Worse than the little guys, frankly. But they're simply not willing to do what they need to do to fix it. They don't seem, I would argue, it's more heart than head. They don't care. So now the question is, to what extent will retailers begin to lean in on that 30% and say, I'm sorry, I think what you don't understand is you will fix the problem. You will fix the problem.
Have there been, and you may or may not want to name names, but have there been circumstances where a retailer has made that phone call and said, here's the deal. If you guys don't fix the problem, we're just going to have to kind of reset our shelves.
We've just begun to see that.
And do you help in that process? I mean, do you help with the – I mean, are you willing to be muscle?
Well, we don't want to be muscle. We want to be perceived as the independent third party. We don't have a dog. We don't have a dog in the fight. What we want is to say, trust us. These are real numbers. And frequently – people, especially in the DSD world, can fix it because it may be as simple as I've got one driver, one route, and he's persistently out of stock. He's just not stocking it out properly. We can improve his ability to understand the problem. But in some cases, because some of our customers are the largest retailers in the world without naming them, but they're some of the biggest, even they don't have this, I call it the regional problem. There's a national dairy that we work with on this problem. And the head representative of this company to one of the largest retailers in the world, who's our customer, actually said, we acknowledge there's a serious problem. It's running about 13 to 15% of sales. It's a mess. I don't know who to talk to in my company to fix this. That was the account rep of one of the largest dairies in the United States saying, I don't know who to talk to fix this problem.
Oddly enough, that is shocking, but not even a little bit surprising for somehow, right? I mean, that makes sense in a lot of ways. I mean, it's especially because the bigger you get, the greater the bureaucracy is, and who do you call? I don't know.
Exactly. Exactly.
So next, certainly a question that's going to be on our listeners' mind. So what does all this cost? I'm a retailer. What does it cost me to do
this?
Oh,
we don't charge the retailer. I'm sorry. Sometimes sometimes we price things.
We're burying the lead here, but that's okay.
No. In my view, it's a question of, I'm going to call it, whose fault is this, right? And I always believe the guy who's at fault should pay for the problem. Well, who's on the DSD side, it's really clear. Who should pay for the problem of a DSD vendor going into a store and creating an out of stock? The DSD vendor. Right. The retailer shouldn't pay for that. It's part of the service. So we charge the DSD vendors to fix the problem. The retailer pays us nothing. It's free to the retailer.
That's to fix the problem. What about for installing all the software? I mean, doing all the work?
All of that's us. The technology's running on our servers. There's no software to install. It's all software as a service. They just send us data. From that data, we then produce reports that show the retailer the size of the prize, show the supplier the size of the prize. But at the supplier level, it's now telephonic, working with them, working through their analysts, whomever we need to talk to, to get them to take action to fix the problem.
So, but as a retailer, it costs me nothing to do this.
Retailer's free, absolutely free.
Well, that concludes part three of my conversation with Randy Fields, talking about the ReposiTrak out-of-stock management solution. We'll be back in a few days with part four. See you next time, everybody.